each of you here this morning. I want to say thank you to the Lord for allowing our pastor and his family to make it back safely.
Amen.
Yes.
We're grateful for that they're able to be back with us, and trust they had a good time away, but I'm glad they're back. Trust you are too. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get started this morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to be in your house today. We pray that you would guide and direct in every aspect of our services today. Be with our pastor as he teaches and preaches the word, that you would give him what you would have for us. And we thank you that you have brought he and his family here to be with us. Pray that you would comfort our hearts, strengthen us, encourage us, all of us, as individuals, as families, and as a church body. We all are facing struggles that we deal with on a day-by-day basis, and we need this time to strengthen us for the battles that lie ahead. So help us to be prepared and be ready, and we pray that you will be pleased with all that's said and done today. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, trust all of you have a 101 book nearby. We're going to turn to Psalm number 61. Psalm number 61. Let's stand, please, as we sing.
Jesus, my
number 62.
Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The lost are sinful, and first birth is rejected. John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The lost are depraved, and new birth is a must. John 3:7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. All right. Pastor, we're ready here.
It's a blessing to be back with y'all. See, I got the all back. Yes. I can't go down there and say you guys, because they'd be like, what are you talking about now? You guys. You mean y'all, right? Y'all. Amen. Keep the brethren in prayer down in Louisiana today. This time of year down there, especially, you keep your eye open traveling down in the south. The hurricanes coming through and just storms. And there's a lot going on along all areas of the world. You know, it just everywhere you turn, something's happening. And a lot of things to pray for, a lot of brethren to keep in prayer. Missionaries overseas, and especially there in Afghanistan, in that region. Just a lot to pray for, a lot to be thankful for. A lot to be thankful for, especially in a country we live in. I know our country's going through a lot, and we got a lot of bad things, quote-unquote, happening, yet we still have freedoms to meet today, come to church, carry a Bible, have to worry about being persecuted. Nobody busting in through the doors and break up our meeting because we're talking about Jesus Christ. And it's a lot to be thankful for. I think we have grocery stores to go to this morning. You need food, you got a restaurant, you got place of sleep. Just a lot to be thankful for. God's blessed this country. So I'm thankful for it. Thank you for your prayers for our trip. It went well. Got to do a lot of cleaning, which I love that. When you leave three boys alone in a house, it ain't going to be very good. You walk in and on one of the couches, I think there was a pile of laundry up to the ceiling. But, you know, it's a funny thing. And, you know, my son's watching. I'm sorry, son, but you just have to deal with it. So we go in there, my wife and I, and we're looking at this pile of laundry, and we go over and start feeling it. And I was like, man, what? No. And the towels just looked all dingy and everything. And here, my son had been washing the clothes in fabric softener. That's a self-correcting error. There you realize real quick, yeah, that doesn't get clothes clean. But it was a blessing to be down there. I appreciate your prayers for my dad. Had a good visit with him. He clarity of mind. He was moving around, so I was very thankful for that time we got to spend with him, and to where he basically seemed like his old self. So very thankful for that. Thank you for praying for that. Continue to pray for him, my mom, and it's good to be back home. Me and Melanie were talking about describing even Ellie. You go down there, and you know, a home that you've been in for 26 years. You know, you think you'd go back and it'd be just like normal again, but it wasn't. And so it was just more confirmation that God called us up here and that, you know, though things change, I said this down there to the church down there. I had an opportunity to preach down there at our church down there. And, you know, though things change, things can be better even in change. You know, it's sometimes when you try to hold on to something because you want it just to keep it the way it's always been. Sometimes if the Lord's wanting to change and you don't change, there's going to be misery even though nothing's changed. Whereas if you allow God to allow to change and you go forward with it, even though I said it down there, even though you can be miles apart, you can be closer than you were if you were two doors across from each other. So just always be willing to follow God, and God knows what's best, and just good to be back. Amen. So if you take your Bible, we're going to continue on with our study here in Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2, and we left off about 2 weeks ago, I believe, in verse number 9. I'll read here Genesis 2. We'll start in verse 8 to kind of get a little bit of the context of it. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 8. The Bible says here, it says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as that that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this opportunity to be here this morning. Lord, thank you for the new birth. Dear God, thank you, Lord, that we can be born again. And dear God, that someday we can inherit the kingdom of God and, Lord, spend eternity with you. And Lord, I just ask now for your wisdom this morning, guidance and direction. Lord, I pray you'd give us what we need. Touch our hearts, touch our minds, dear God, to, Lord, be about your business, Lord, to do your will, to be faithful, Lord, to the end, till you call us home, dear God, and just help us to glorify you and praise you because you're worthy of it. And Lord, thank you for these precious brethren. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church this morning. And Lord, we just pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So the latter part, I believe I left off there in verse number 9. I'm talking about how the Bible says, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I want to touch just a little bit on this latter part of this verse here this morning before we move on to verses 10 through 14. Take your Bible and look over at Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 51. Lamentation chapter 3. And verse number 51. Book of Lamentation, in chapter 3. And Jeremiah talking here, Lamentations chapter 3. And verse number, look at verse 48. Lamentations 3:48. Lamentation 3:48. It says, mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without intercession or intermission. Till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. Verse 51, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Jeremiah says here in Lamentation, he says, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. He's looking out at the destruction here happening and all that's going on. And the book of Jeremiah is something, how that man just stayed faithful to God, though thrown into a dungeon, the ridicule he suffered. And he's looking out at the destruction of his homeland. And he says, mine eye affects my heart. And it's something that we've got to be careful today is our eye gate. Your eyes, what you look at, what you spend time looking at, even what you spend time hearing, is going to affect your heart, whether you realize it or not. That's what's so dangerous about our phones today. That's dangerous. You see people, you walking around, and it's they're looking at their phone consistently and just nonstop looking at it. Your eye affects your heart, and I think the devil knows that. And he knows that by imagery and by things that we hear, that if he can get us to spend time in those things and watch those things and look at those things, that he's hoping that it'll affect your heart and your thoughts and your mind towards the Lord. He says, mine eye affects my heart. And when Eve, we're going to see further on here in Genesis, she looks and sees that the tree is a tree that's good for food. It's pleasant to the sight. Well, the Bible says that all the trees that God created were pleasant to the sight. But yet she lets her eye affect her heart. Adam lets these things affect his heart, and they end up sinning against God. Be careful with your eye gate and your ear gate. What you hear, what you listen to, what you look at, what you spend time with. Again, it might not happen overnight. It may take 3 years, 4 years before it comes to fruition. Be careful with our eye gates. So take your Bible real quick and look at Joshua chapter 7, verse 21. Look at these verses again real quick. Joshua 7 and verse number 21. Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 21. Joshua 7, 21. And even before we get into Joshua here, we're going to read this verse here, chapter 7, verse 21. What affected the children of Israel when they went in, when they were told to go into the promised land? They came back, those spies, 10 of those spies came back with an evil report. And what were they basing everything off of? What they saw. Not what God said. Be careful that your eyes don't affect your heart because of what you see. Look, you look around in our society today, and if you, I'm telling you, spend too much time in the news, you spend too much time looking at the television and listening to the radio, and if it's not what Philippians chapter 4 says, 4 verse 8 says, things that are uplifting, things that are pure, things that are just, things that are lovely, things that are of a good report. If you consistently hear bad report after bad report after bad report, that's going to start affecting your heart. It's going to start getting you to where you start sorrowing, where you're sad. Well, I don't understand why I'm depressed. What are you spending? What, are you listening to bad reports or good reports? Look, I'm here to tell you this morning, there's been bad things happening in Afghanistan for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. Afghanistan, Pakistan, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Iran, Iraq, all those countries that are Muslim, they don't treat people right. They don't treat women right. They don't treat kids right. Because they're worshiping a false god. So be careful how much time you, and I'm not saying you can't watch the news, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is be careful how much time you spend with things that consistently are bad news. It's going to affect your heart. It's going to affect your spirit. It's going to make you fearful. It may get you depressed. It's going to affect you in some way because it's negative, If it keeps being negative, it's going to mess with you. Bible says in Philippians 4:8, if anything be of a good report. Well, you know where you always get a good report? Even though it's painful sometimes, right here. God's always going to give you a good report, even though it might be a painful report. It's good for you because the Lord knows what's best. You're never going to get in your Bible, at least I don't believe this, you're going to get in your Bible and you're going to walk away and be like, man, I wish I'd have never read that. Not unless you're spending your life or something like that. God knows what's best for us. Look what happens here with Achan. Joshua 7:21. When I saw. He says, when I saw the spoils, a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. Joshua, or Achan tells here, he said, when I saw. Take your Bible, look over at 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2. 2 Samuel 11:2. When I saw. There was a tree in the middle of that garden, and it was pleasant to the sight. So were all the other trees. And it affected her eye gate. It affected Eve's eye gate. Along with two other things, but what she saw. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 2. And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself. He saw. His eye, right from this moment here, his eye now is affecting his heart. His eye is affecting his heart. He sees this woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And verse 3, he gets himself in trouble, and David sent and inquired after the woman. I don't believe the devil set David up here. I believe David set himself up. See, we're going to blame the devil for this. No, David, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time, not being the king you should be doing. Because look at verse number 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle. David was supposed to go forth to battle because he was the king. He was supposed to lead his country. But for whatever reason, David thinks, I'm going to take a break, which rightfully so, David has been fighting some battles for a long period of time. And how is it in our lives? We say, Lord, I just deserve a break right now. We think in our mind, we think in our heart, God, I've been fighting these battles. I can just lax off today just for a moment because I just need a rest from these things and I can just indulge myself for a moment. And that's when you get yourself into trouble. You can never lay the armor down. You can never stop fighting. You can never take a step back and say, God, I'm going to coast today because I've been doing really good for this last month. And just at the moment you decide I'm on a coast is the moment the devil's going to jump in and say, okay. And not only the devil, your flesh. You see, you got the world you got to battle with. You got the devil you got to battle with. And then you got to battle with your own stinky flesh too. You know what I think gives a lot of people a lot of trouble most of the time is just our own flesh. Just our own flesh. We do what we want to do. Most of the time, the devil don't even have to mess with us. He can just say, I can just sit back because they're gonna provide for... What does Romans say? Don't provide for the flesh. Don't provide opportunities for the flesh. See, that's where the eye gate comes in again. I said this before. I believe the devil is a master chess player. He's looking 13, 14, 20 moves ahead. If I can set you up today, you start being a little lax today, good. I'm not going to mess with you because I want you to think it's okay just to coast a little bit today. Nothing happened. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore it's set in the hearts of men to continue on doing their evil. Ecclesiastes. Because judgment doesn't come down quick, because the chastening doesn't come down quick, we go, oh, nothing happened, so I'm good. No. We always have to be on guard. And so I'll wait for today. And I'll wait. This is the time that kings go forth to battle. David doesn't go to battle. For whatever reason, David decides to tarry still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and he gets himself into a mess. He looks down, he sees a beautiful woman washing, and he inquires after her and he takes her. Because of what he saw, how does the world mess with us? By our eyes and our ears, what we see and what we hear, because the devil knows that if he can get you to see something, it's going to affect your heart. It's going to affect your flesh. It's going to affect it. There's no way. And there's no way it's not going to affect you. Mine eye affecteth my heart. And see, these verses go on into what we're going to look at next in Genesis chapter 2. Look, flip back over to Genesis chapter 2 again and look at verse number 10 through 14. I'm not going to read through there again, but it talks about four rivers that, verse number 10, and a river went out of Eden to the water of the garden, and after it goes through the garden, the Bible says, and from thence it parted and became into four heads. You see, I can't imagine what God had established first on this earth for mankind. God puts a garden there, God creates man, God puts him in the garden to dress it and to keep it. But there was a whole bunch of stuff that Adam and Eve and their children after them had to explore and find out what God had created in this new world, this new earth that God created. And there's a river that comes down into Eden, it watered a garden, and after it came through the garden, it appears that after it went through there, then it parted into four different heads, four different rivers spouting off of this original river coming out of Eden to water the garden. But I want you to take notice is if Adam and Eve wouldn't have got so caught up, as we're going to see in chapter 3, of just hanging around that tree there with the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. There was other trees that they could have ate of, but they get caught up with the enemy, the serpent. They start talking to him, they start conversing with him, and they get themselves into a mess. But if you look at verse number 11, it says, the name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah. So there's a whole land outside of this garden called Havilah. And then look what it says. Where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and the onyx stone. Why would God throw that in there? When I read my Bible, I wonder, why do we need to know that information? What good does it do me right now, some 6,000 years later, to know that at that river that compasseth the whole land of Havilah where there is gold. Lord, why do I need to know that? Not only are we living after the flood, which changed everything, why do I need to know in God's word today, this morning, that in that land, in that area, in Havilah, there was gold? And not only was there gold, the Bible says in verse 11, and the gold of that land is good. Well, what good does that do for me today? Gold is valuable. Gold is worth money. Gold spends. If you get a little nugget of gold, you can exchange that for money. It used to be that our economy was set upon the gold standard. Not no more. Basically, we just got paper in our pockets today. But you used to be able to take some of those old dollar bills, and you used to be able to, it was supposed to be, you could take it to the bank and get your weight in gold or silver with whatever you had. You could get literal gold and silver because that's what backed your money. The Bible says here, look, this is what I believe this morning. There's nothing in here by accident. That's what I believe. I believe every word of God is pure, and there's a reason for why God has it the way he has it. There's a reason why God is telling us this morning, if we open up our book to Genesis and we read through it, there's a reason why God says, hey, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Take your Bible, look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 10. Gold is beautiful. You can do some beautiful things with gold. You can make necklaces, you can make rings, you can make jewelry with gold. And most ladies like gold, silver. You know, you don't want to wear a paper necklace. Go to the jewelry store and ask them, do you have any paper necklaces? They're going to look at you like, what are you talking about? You see diamonds, rubies, pearls, precious stones used to beautify the wearer of it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 10. 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He is the foundation on which we build our Christian walk. If you're not saved, if you're not born again, if Jesus Christ is not your foundation, then what you're building is you're building in vain. Jesus Christ is the foundation. It says in verse 12, though, now if any man build upon this foundation, what foundation? The foundation of Jesus Christ. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. So when you get saved and Jesus Christ becomes the foundation of your life, you just don't, I talked about this before, you just don't stay with the foundation. You want to build a house. You want to build something that's pleasing to the eye, something that you can dwell in. And the Bible says, now if any man build upon this foundation, first thing it lists is gold. Now think of some of I love looking at pictures, you know, some of the National Geographic of some buildings and architecture that man has created. And there's some beautiful buildings out there that man has created before. You walk into some structures and they got paintings, just even down there in Washington, D.C., in the Capitol. You walk into some of those areas down there and you look up and you're thinking, wow, how in the world did they paint that on the ceiling and build all? I don't know about you. I wonder about those things. The things sometimes that man can do, I look at, how in the world can a man do that? How can a man create something like that with his hands? And how beautiful some of those structures are. It's because most of the time you have gold in it, you have silver in it. That's what makes it look beautiful to the eye. God wants us to build a building with our Christian walk that's pleasing and beautiful and honors and glorifies him as our creator. You see, we're the clay, he's the potter. Allow him to work in your life to build something that's honoring and glorifying to him. The Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, now if any man build upon, you're building something this morning. If you're saved, if From the time you've accepted and received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are building upon that foundation. What does your house look like? If all of a sudden we could take our Christian walk and bring it into fruition physically, what would your building look like today? How would it be built? Would it be gold, silver, precious stones, or would it just be a wooden building with some hay flooring and some stubble? See, as a Christian, God desires for us to think about these things, to pay them attention. Hold your hand there in 1 Corinthians and flip over to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 18. Revelation 3 and verse number 18. Well, verse 17. Revelation 3:17. You know what? I'm going to back up to verse 7 because I want to put these things together here. I want to say this before I read it, though. I desire to be a Philadelphian Christian during a Laodicean age. I believe we're living during a Laodicean church age period here. Now, Laodicea, that was a real church. Paul tells the letter that he wrote to Colossae, he says, listen, share that with the church that's in Laodicea. And likewise, you share the letter that I wrote to Laodicea, you share it with the church there in Colossae. So they were real churches. But you have different church ages, and I believe we are in the last church age, the Laodicean church age. But I would desire to be a Philadelphian Christian and believer during a Laodicean age. Look at verse number 7, chapter 3. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. That's a scary statement there. Let that one sink in for a second. God, Jesus Christ, knows your works. How are you building? How are you building? Jesus says here, through the power of the Holy, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. And thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. The Lord knows we have a little strength. Verse number 9. Give me for a second here. Verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. Are we not there today? It's interesting that the Lord is speaking to John here and he says that the hour of temptation, he says, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Look what he says next. Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Do you not think that right now we're living in a time of an hour of temptation? Think about how many things there are in our society today to draw you away from Jesus Christ. Everywhere you look, there's something to draw you away from thinking upon, meditating upon, dwelling upon Jesus Christ. So many things to catch your eye. So many things to catch your eye, to catch your ear. Paul, God gives a warning here in verse 10 saying the hour of temptation, which is going to come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. You see that word try. You're not going to grow unless you're tried, unless you're proven. Verse number 11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Verse 13, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith in the churches. Do you have an ear this morning to hear what the Spirit, what the Holy Spirit of God is saying to the churches? Not what just anybody preaches. Last week we had four different men preach. You're not hearing what they're saying. You're hearing what the Holy Spirit bears witness to in your heart. A lot of Christians don't spend enough time to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Rather, they just hear what a preacher has to say to the church. No, it does God talk to you? Does the Spirit bear witness with your spirit and instruct you and guide you in your daily walk with Him? That still small voice. Jesus didn't say, he that hears what John the Baptist is saying, or what John the Apostle is saying, or what Paul says. No, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit saying? I can rest in that. I don't want you doing something just because I said to do it. I don't want you doing something just because I preached it. I want you to have a walk with God. This is my desire as a pastor, for everybody that's in this room that's saved, to have an individual, personal walk with Jesus Christ. If I can rest in that as a preacher, then I know everything's going to be all right. Because He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to talk to you. He's going to correct you. He'll love you. He'll comfort you. He'll help you and bring you along like He desires for you to come along. There is no way for this man to do that. Impossible. Impossible. Now, can I put forth principles and scriptures and teach? Yes. But then it's the Holy Spirit that comes along and bears witness to that and helps you grow, mold, and make you. And you build upon that foundation, hopefully gold, silver, and precious stones. That the house that you're building there in heaven is a house that glorifies Jesus Christ. But the building takes place now. You see, when you cross over to the other side, there's no more building. What's done is done. What you've laid up, you build upon that foundation, takes place now. There will be none over there on that side. Now is the day. Redeem the time. Work, for the night is coming. Jump down there now to verse number 17, to Revelation 3. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. That is today. That could be applied to the United States of America. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me what? Gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. God desires, the Lord Jesus Christ desires for you to be rich in this life spiritually, not physically. That's where the charismatics get a little off on it. They're thinking, and they preached, God wants you to have it all now. No, no, no. He wants you to have all now spiritual, in a spiritual sense now, spiritual blessings. And then on that other side is a time to lay up and enjoy it over on that side. Now we walk a spiritual walk. He says, you don't even realize in this church here in Laodicea, he says, you don't even realize that you're poor, you're blind, you're miserable, you're wretched, you're naked. And then he says to that precious church, he says in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, and that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Verse 13 says, hear. Verse 18 says, see. See and hear. Hear what the Spirit's saying and seeing what really does matter in this life. Don't get caught up with the sparkly, glittery stuff of this world. It's going to pass away. Make sure, ask the Lord to help you to anoint your eyes with eye salve to where you can see eternity. And what does the Bible say? Lay hold on eternal life. See what really does matter. Ask God to open your eyes and your ears to see and to hear what really does matter in this life. And that's a walk with Jesus Christ and doing His will and building upon that foundation that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. It's interesting that the Lord says, I counsel me to ask for gold. It's not what it says. He says, I counsel thee to buy. It's going to cost you something. You want that gold that God, that Jesus Christ desires for you to have, you're going to have to pay with something. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. He desires for you to be rich, but it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. There's going to be a sacrifice associated if you desire to have this gold which Jesus wants you to have. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold. How will you get this gold? Gold that is tried in the fire. Now, I did a little research on, or trying to study and research about how you refine gold. It's quite the process. There's a process where you can melt gold down and continue to melt it down and melt it down. And as it gets so hot, it says some of those crucibles that the gold is put in can get up to 1,000 degrees Celsius, which is around 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit. You want to talk about hot. 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit, you can't even get near it. You as your flesh, as a physical body, at 162 degrees would evaporate. So if all of a sudden you were thrown into something that was 162 degrees, you'd be gone in an instant, much less 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit. That's what gold is put into to try it, to purify it, to refine it, so that all the impurities that are in it come up to the top and they can, some of them skim it off the top. Jesus said, I counsel me to buy gold tried in the fire. You see, if you want this gold, God's going to put you and your Christian walk into the crucible, into the fire, so that as you go through that fire, if you're walking with God, you won't be consumed, but those impurities will rise to the top and hopefully skimmed off, and you will become a pure Christian for Jesus Christ. John talks about it. He purifieth himself, even as he is pure. God desires a pure product. Now, he wants us to have gold. Gold can be refined only by being placed in the fire. Another way gold can be refined, which they've established now, is through chemicals. You can use a bunch of different chemicals. You could put it through this chemical process. I watched a couple men do it. You could do it at your house. You can get gold, and you can refine gold in your own house. Now, is it dangerous? Yes. But it can be refined. It can be done. But the gold that's purified and gone through a purifying process with chemicals, most of those chemicals are acidic. They eat away at what's bad, and it brings forth the gold, which is what you want. Take your Bible and look over at Zechariah chapter 13 and verse number 9. Going through the fire. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse number 9. We read back there in Genesis that in the land of Havilah, that there's gold, and the land of that gold is good. Now, we can't get that land, we can't get that gold right now, that at that time on this earth that there was gold there. We can't go mine or find that gold. It'd be impossible. But there is gold God desires for us to have, and Jesus counsels us to buy of it. Look at Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. Now, this is talking about the Jews as they go through part of the tribulation and how they're going to be refined, but you get the picture here of looking at gold and silver. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire. Well, what happens when you go through the fire? And will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. Going through the fire, going through the furnace. Why? For what purpose? That you may be refined and be made more pure for Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, look over at Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Book of Malachi. Right before the book of Matthew. Malachi chapter 3. And look at verse number 1. Malachi 3, 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 2 though, but who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, and that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. In order for those Levites to come back through again and offer the right kind of offerings, they need to be purified. They need to be purged, just as gold and silver is purged as it goes through the refiner's fire. You want to be a life that glorifies Jesus Christ, allow him to put you through the fire. Now, it scares me every time I say that, from not myself. there's times I've prayed that, and then when things all of a sudden start going bad, I want to blame it on the devil. And it's like the Lord saying, hey, son, didn't you just pray 2 weeks ago you wanted to go through the fire, and now you're blaming it on the devil, and I'm the one putting you through the fire so that you can be purified, so you can be refined. Just because bad things happen doesn't mean it's because the devil's making it happen. It may be a Lord allowing it to happen to purify you, to refine you, to make you of a more finished product, a more pure gold and a more pure silver that brings him glory and honor. But the process is not fun. It's not fun going through the fire. Who allowed Job to go through what he went through? God. The devil couldn't mess with Job. The devil even complained to God about Job. He said, you've set a hedge about him. If you lift the hedge, he'd curse you. God, and God gave some prayer, but God allowed it. And who came out the better for that thing? Job did. But you know what? When you go through the fire, when you desire to go through the fire, or God puts you through the fire, that there's a 50-50 chance that you're going to quit or you're going to back off on that thing. Now, I'm almost done, but I want to close with this thought for you real quick. I want you to think about this a second as I close with this thought. As a Christian, those of you here that have had children, if you're any kind of parent that loves your kids, you don't like to see your kids be put in situations to where they hurt. From the time they're a little baby in a cradle to however old they get. You don't desire for your kids to hurt and you laugh at them like, Now last night when she was running, I was with Jason last night, and Lydia was running and she tripped and she fell. He didn't sit back, look at you, I'm glad you hurt yourself, and walk over to the car. No, he walked over, he picked her up, he said, you are, because he cares for her. But God loves us. See, as parents, we don't want to see our kids hurt because we love them and we care for them. And we would try it as much as possible to remove any pain, anything that happened to them because of our love. Yet God loves us so much that he'll allow us to go through things that are hurtful and painful for our good. Sometimes our love inhibits the growth that God desires. True love will allow someone to hurt because they know if they stick with it, they'll come back on the other end and it'll produce even a greater love. God, I'm thankful that I serve a God that'll let me hurt for my own benefit in order to glorify him. Please forgive me if I had a hard time putting that into words, but there's truth in that. God will allow his children to hurt, but for a purpose. It's for a purpose. It's a purpose to refine you, to purify you, to help you have a closer walk with him. Job, in my opinion, went through the hardest things you could go through as a human being. I don't think there's anybody, there might be some, but there's not many that come close to Job or surpass him with what he went through. He loses 10 kids in one day. He loses all his whole business. Then he loses his health completely. He's sitting there. He's cutting himself and scraping off boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. His wife's against him saying, curse God and die. All his kids are gone. He's lost all his money. And now his friends come in, and after 7 days, they start getting on him saying, you got sin. You did something wrong. This man had it all poured on him, and he made it through, and he didn't even have the Holy Spirit like we have. He didn't have the new birth. Yet God brought him through that. Why? Because Job didn't quit, but God also dealt with him too. Now look, us in our good, kind-hearted nature would look at Job and we wouldn't be so quick at the very end to be like, Job, gird yourself up like a man and answer before me. Job had just been through all these horrible things, and when it comes to the end, Elihu says the only right thing, saying, Job, you are all right until you started justifying yourself. And then God says, Elihu gets pushed aside. God steps up and says, hey, stand up and gird yourself like an answer yourself. And Job's like, whoa. God says, where were you when I created the world? Where were you when I hanged the stars in heaven? Where? So we got to be careful when we go through things, what comes out of our mouth. Job just went through some horrible stuff, yet God says, you need to stand up and answer yourself like a man. You cross the line, Job. You start justifying yourself, saying, why is this happening to me? And God says, because I allowed it to happen. You see, there's purposes in these things. God desires for our lives to be lives that are like gold and silver that become purified. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3 to the church at Laodicea, he says, I counsel thee. I counsel thee. You want counsel this morning from the Word of God? Take the counsel of Jesus Christ and buy of him that gold. But realize that that gold can be only purchased and obtained if you go through the fire. There's good gold to be had. Just like there was good gold that Adam and Eve, for whatever reason, I don't know if they ever got it. I don't know if they ever found it. But God tells us in the book of Genesis that there was gold in that land, and that land, that gold was good, wherever that gold was. It was good gold. And Adam and Eve could have found it and made jewelry and did things with it, but God desires for us to even have a better gold and better silver. A spiritual gold, a spiritual silver that helps us to lay up a house over there on that other side, building upon that foundation. Are you building upon that foundation gold, silver, and precious stones? Or are you merely just walking through this Christian life and, whatever. But someday you're going to go home and you're going to regret it because you're going to realize it's just a bunch of wood, hay, and stubble. I, as your pastor, I want to exhort you. I want to encourage you to buy that gold. But realize that if you desire to have that gold, then get ready for the fire that you're going to have to go through. It's going to happen. Because that's the only way. The only way to get pure gold is to go through the fire. And that fire will be painful. But if you allow that fire to work in your life, in the end, it'll take off that impurities that made that gold not as valuable that it is now valuable. I hope these things make sense this morning. Allow God to work. There's gold to be had. There's silver to be had. There's precious stones to be had today. For Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. I love you, Lord, and I love these brethren. Lord, help us. I pray you help me, Lord, to grab a hold of this thing, dear God. Help me, Lord, God, not to be so stubborn, Lord, so concerned with myself, Lord. I pray you'd help me, dear God, to lay up in heaven, to build upon this foundation, the foundation of Jesus Christ, to help me to build up gold, silver, and precious stones with this building. And Lord, that these things will be glorified, that these things will glorify you, praise you, honor you, lift you up, magnify you because of how good you are to us. Lord, help us in our Christian walk. Help us to have a Christian walk that honors you and is a testimony to this world. Help us, Lord, before I close here in prayer, Lord, help us those times, dear God, that you put us through the fire. Help us not to quit when we go through the fire. Help us not to quit when things get painful, when things get hard, when things happen that we don't understand why. Help us to know that it's for our good and just to trust you and stand upon your word. Lord, we love you this morning. I pray you just be with us in the next hour. Thank you for this hour. And Lord, just help us to glorify you. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Take a little break here and we'll get started here in a few minutes.